question. Have you ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight? Maybe. That quote might sound familiar. It's from the 1989 Batman movie. It's the first Batman film of the modern era. In it, the Joker, who's played by Jack Nicholson, asks Batman this question right before shooting him, leaving him for dead. It's a dark scene from a dark movie about the Dark Knight. That's Knight with a K. Now, I had to look up the word pale to get a better sense of what this phrase means. Turns out that a pale moonlight is dull. It's not bright at all. For me, this conjures up an image of dancing with your own personal demons in the darkness of night with only a pale, dark light from above. Kind of sounds hopeless. Now, Batman was a critical and financial success, earned over $400 million in the box office at the time. That was the fifth highest grossing film in history back then. Our society, it seems, is fascinated with darkness. Perhaps we're fascinated with hopeless situations, too. Today, as you know, maybe, is Reformation Sunday. That's why many of you are wearing red, so looking good out there. And for the ones that didn't, that's okay too. There's always next year. On this day, we also celebrate the man who started the Protestant Reformation almost 500 years ago. That's Martin Luther, a law student, turned monk, then turned priest. Luther knew a little bit about dancing with the devil. As a young adult, he spent years fighting his own demons. Living in a monastery at the time, Luther worried a lot about sin and that he may have committed it. When he had thought he had sinned, he would apologize to God, asking for confession whenever he failed. He did a lot of confessing. Troubled young man, maybe. Luther was living in a monastery, and he would often wake up the head monk 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, middle of the night, just to confess. I can almost picture him looking up to the heavens, seeing that pale, dim moon as he journeyed to confess. At times, Luther was so obsessed with sin, he would literally whip himself again and again and again as punishment. That's pretty painful stuff. What was going on? Well, Luther believed if he died without confessing all his sins, he was destined for hell. It's no wonder he feared this dance with the devil in the pale moonlight. But fortunately for Luther and for all of us, it gets better. It's not how we see our faith. I'd like to show you a short video. It's actually a Luther rap that describes his role in reforming the church. Isn't that fun? That's a seminary student that's extremely talented. Yeah, just amazing. He's the actor. And actually, a few of the clips in there come from a movie called Luther. Came out in 2003. It's on DVD. Might be available on streaming if you'd like to see a little bit more about a modern view of his life and times. The turning point for Martin Luther happened after deeply studying the Bible. Didn't quite get to that part in the video, particularly Paul's letter to the Romans. One of the scripture verses Luther ran across helped him to understand salvation in a new way. Those verses are Romans 3, 22 through 24. That says, "The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ is for all who believe. For there's no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For they are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Some pretty big words in there. I don't understand them all. Maybe we could break them down just a little. Another way of saying righteousness is morally good. You could shorten that just to say goodness. So we're talking about the goodness of God. Second word that trips me up in here is justified. That word shows up all the time in seminary. I wish it wouldn't. Another way of saying justified is to be worthy of salvation, or maybe just to be made right. When you swap out those two words, the text gets a little better, a little easier to understand, and it goes like this. The goodness of God through Jesus Christ is for all who believe, for there's no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are made right by his grace as a gift through the redemption in Christ Jesus. Let's say that together just to get into this. The goodness of God through faith in Jesus Christ is for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now made right by his grace as a gift through the redemption in Christ Jesus. Excellent. So the goodness of God is for all who believe. Sounds like some pretty good news. How do we get to that goodness? Through faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, so through faith, we're getting there. All have sinned, it says. We're all in this same boat, every single one of us. It's in our DNA. We can't quite escape it. But there's more good news. Paul tells us we are made right by the grace of God given to us as gift. Now, this notion that there's nothing for us to do to receive the goodness of God beyond belief in Jesus, that was fairly radical at the time. When Martin Luther discovered he was freed from his dance with the devil in the pale moonlight, things got a little better. I'm guessing he slept much better, stayed away from some of that pale moon. But 500 years ago, that's not exactly how the church looked at how you get the goodness of God. The church at the time used indulgences to forgive sins. There's another tricky word, indulgences. The way indulgences worked is that people would give money to the church, and the church would then forgive your sins. It's a bit of a transaction. Or even forgive the sins of your ancestors. Can you imagine? That could get expensive. Thinking back to some of my ancestors. Anyways, we could also summarize the concept of indulgences like this. Sin always kind of starts there, right? Pay church, avoid hell. It's a simple formula. Fear sells, right? One place you'll find that sells fear in our modern culture, it's in TV commercials. Marketers use this mindset all the time to sell their products. Unfortunately, some churches still use fear to motivate people. Now, Pastor Frank, I don't know about any future sermons you have coming up. Hopefully that doesn't complicate anything. Like the next giving campaign, is it going to be okay? I hope. Probably won't be a problem. Okay, just kidding. But Martin Luther, after a careful reading of Romans, he came to a different conclusion than that summary. The formula Luther saw through Scripture looks a little more like this. Sin, sure, starts there. Have faith in Jesus. Experience God's goodness. That's it. That's it. Now, the rap video we saw earlier has a great way of saying this poetically, much better than I ever could. I'll try to repeat that, but though probably not as well. This is a favorite part that kind of resonates. People dropping Benjamins, that's money, to be forgiven of their sins. Buying up indulgences. Man, is this what salvation is? Been spending most of my life trying to find my way to Jesus Christ. Been spending most of my life trying to buy my way to paradise. The lyrics continue. The church demanded money, money to atone, says the only way to heaven is indulgences alone. Excuse me, Mr. Pope, if this disturbs you on your throne, the Bible that I'm reading says by faith and faith alone. That's a little better interpretation. Now, before Luther's epiphany, he lived in fear. He feared an angry God that would send him to hell for his sins. But he now knew those sins were covered by the death and resurrection of Jesus. There were no works, no behaviors needed on his part. It had all been done already on the cross. Theologian Gerhard Fardy, I think he's Nordic, summarizes Luther's insight like this, saying, "What shall I do to be saved?" The answer is shocking. Nothing. Just be still, stop talking, and listen. For once in your life, listen to what God the Almighty, Creator and Redeemer, is saying to you and the world in the death and resurrection of His Son. Listen and believe. And with this new understanding of grace and salvation, the personal reformation of Martin Luther had begun. Luther, now aware of this grace, stopped dancing with the devil. The pale moonlight that clouded his soul gave way to the sun, the risen Christ. Luther, now set free, went about sharing this message with others. He wrote up 95 complaints, known as the 95 Theses, and nailed them on the door of the Wittenberg Cathedral in 1517. You can see the poster right here. There's also a depiction of this in the video that we saw earlier. That video shows a determined man marching up the church steps, loudly nailing his freshly written document to the door. Luther's actions that day, they paved a way for a host of reforms in Christians and the churches they attend. These reforms have molded and changed us and our faith communities ever since. It's a pretty important moment in time. The scene in the video of Luther marching up those church steps reminds me of something else. This is a little silly. An annual pilgrimage a few friends of mine took each year in college. I wasn't raised Lutheran, but I did go by chance to a Lutheran university, and it happened to be in Northwest Indiana. If anyone know that, anyone knows that geography, there's something else up there in Northwest Indiana, Notre Dame. For a 45-minute drive, that happens to be a Catholic university. So every year, around this time in late October, a few fraternity friends would take that 45-minute drive, go to Notre Dame, walk up to the Basilica of the Sacred Heart, and they had a goal. They would nail this document to the front door every year at about 2 in the morning. That's a pretty silly thing to do, sure. But I took away another message from that. Reform is still happening in our world today, and it's something we should continue to talk about. For Luther, as is for us, we are free through the death and resurrection of Jesus. We need not fear a dance with the devil. The dark night of our soul and the pale moonlight we sometimes find ourselves in has been washed in the vibrant light of grace. Salvation is ours. Just believe. Nothing else. So, whatever happened to Batman after dancing with the devil, being shot, being left for dead? Well, the story doesn't end there. This is Batman. Batman had been wearing a silver serving tray when he was shot, well protected from the bullets heading his way. Batman goes on to discover Joker's plot, he usually does, and then foils it, saving the entire city of Gotham from certain death. While our society may be fascinated by stories of darkness like this, we're even more fascinated by salvation from it. And those stories, my friends, go back more than 2,000 years and all point to the cross. Amen.